The App Generation: How Today's Youth Navigate Identity, Intimacy and Imagination in a Digital World. Authors: Howard Gardner and Kate Davis. The App Generation: It's our argument that young people growing up in our time are not only immersed in apps, but they've come to think of the world as an ensemble of apps, to see their lives as a string of ordered apps, or perhaps, in many cases, a single, extended, cradle-to-grave app. Apps are great if they take care of ordinary stuff and thereby free us to explore new paths, form deeper relationships, ponder the biggest mysteries of life, forge a unique and meaningful identity. But if apps merely turn us into more skilled couch potatoes who do not think for ourselves, then the apps simply line the road to serfdom, psychologically speaking. No time for the self. We're more focused on doing than on being. Technology was intended to free up time for unstructured contemplation, but paradoxically, it seems to have had the opposite effect. Moments where we once sat alone with our thoughts, either waiting for an appointment in the doctor's office or commuting to work on the train, have now been replaced by virtually compulsory listening to music, text messaging, or playing games on our digital devices. Far too often, we do these things all at once, epitomising the purpose of the app. We're more focused on doing than on being. Because young people are inclined towards constant virtual connection with others, they don't allow themselves the time and space to figure out their thoughts and desires. They are, consequently, rendered insecure by lack of self-knowledge. Apps and intimate relationships. Today's youth communicate in fundamentally different ways from their pre-digital counterparts. With their ability to transcend geographical and temporal barriers, internet-enabled devices have altered what can be said where and to whom. As it turns out, a considerable portion of these teens' computer communication is dedicated to make on-the-fly arrangements to meet up with friends in person. The app mentality supports the belief that just as information, goods and services are always and immediately accessible, so too are people. Scholars in the mobile communication field have dubbed such an in-the-moment planning micro-coordination and observed that it can slide into hyper-coordination when teens start to feel left out of their social circles if separated from their mobile devices for any period of time. Different, not necessarily better. Young people's social interactions may look quite different today than they did 20 years ago. What is less clear is whether this change in how relationships are conducted has translated into a change in the quality of these relationships, from connected to isolated. The connection between social isolation and social media isn't obvious. Indeed, it sounds counterintuitive. One possibility is that social media platforms like Facebook make us feel lonely, because they create the impression that our friends are hanging out with a greater number of more exciting people and having more fun than we are. We've also heard from young people that they spend hours looking at the achievements of peers with whom they know only through Facebook, and that this voyeuristic activity makes them feel both competitive and inadequate. MIT scholar Sherry Turkle offers another explanation. Though apps allow us to perform a multitude of operations, they may not be well suited to support the kind of deep connection that sustains and nourishes relationships. By necessity, 140-character messages, the maximum on Twitter, must be stripped down to their essentials. Turkle also notes that we may deliberately avoid deep communications through text, aware as we are of the fleeting nature of our tweets and texts, as well as our suspicion that the people on the other end may not be giving us their full attention. Risk aversion harms relationship depth. An important quality of deep relationship is the vulnerability required for those involved. It's uncomfortable to confront another person directly with one's thoughts and emotions, but taking that emotional risk is what brings us closer to others. In our focus groups, we learned that many of today's youth consider it less intrusive to send a text rather than call someone. And it's not uncommon for them to end relationships through text message or Facebook rather than in person. Turkle contends that this sort of arm's-length way of conducting relationships ultimately empties them of true intimacy. She warns, "There is the risk that we come to see others as objects to be accessed, and only for the parts we find useful, comforting, or amusing." The coarsening effect of digital and pre-digital media. A 2011 Associated Press MTV poll that suggested that online speech may have a coarsening effect on the way people relate to each other. In the poll, 71% of 14 to 24-year-olds said people are more likely to use racist and sexist language online or through texting than in person. People are generally meaner online than in person. Molly commented, "I think kids my age find it easier to make fun of someone through a veiled post on Facebook or Twitter. I think that they forget who they are online and use their online profile as a separate identity, almost that loses responsibilities and is invincible to consequences because it's just black ink on a screen." She explained that the public pages of Facebook can be sites of particular cruelty. Acts and apps of imagination among today's youth. We find that digital media open up new avenues for youth to express themselves creatively. Remix, collage, video production, and music composition are easier and cheaper for today's youth to pursue than they were their pre-digital counterparts. It's also easier to find an audience for one's creative productions. And yet, an app mentality can lead to an unwillingness to stretch beyond the functionality of the software and the packaged sources of inspiration that come with a Google search. Are they being creative? The internet provides young people access to a greater quantity and wider range of art than in years past. By comparison, youth's access to the literary medium hasn't changed considerably over the years. In fact, the hegemony of the graphic medium may have displaced it. Seen in this light, the increased complexity and departure from convention that we detected in teens' art may be less about breaking new ground than about skillfully retreading old. With respect to our analysis of teen fiction, the increased conventionality and use of informal language we observed may reflect the pedestrian language of tweets, texts, and instant messages that form a substantial portion of youth's daily reading. Put succinctly, what seems creative on the surface may actually be recreative.